Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. Once again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We're New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock every Wednesday. And we thank each and every one of you for tuning in and being a part of this blog talk interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have the opportunity of calling in and participating in this Bible blog. We're a body of Christ, and we just come together just to share word with the Word of God, and we do thank you for tuning in. We're going to have prayer. For those of you who's tuning in for the first time, we have prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. I'd also like to say that for those of you who are tuning in by phone, if you'd like to call in and you're listening by internet, you can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, the protocol is that you hit the number one if you have something to say. So for what we have been doing is leaving the mics open so that at your choice, when the something hits you and you want to share with the saints of Christ, you have that opportunity of speaking without hitting the number one. So the only thing that I would ask for you to do is when you do call in, make sure that you mute your mic, mute your phone, so that when you are getting ready to say something, we're not hearing what's in the background. Oftentimes, someone will call in and they will have the mic open or it's not muted, and we can hear everything in the background. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how these microphones pick up everything. So we can hear pans, we can hear talking in the background, we can hear everything. So we want to basically just make sure that it is there's no distractions as we are sharing the Word of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for mercy. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the saints that call in, that are part of this Bible blog. We pray that you would bless this this Bible, interactive Bible study, Heavenly Father, that we would be a blessing to one another. Lord, Father, we realize that you have embedded the Spirit of God in each and every one of us, and we all have experiences that we've gone through. And we pray, Father, Lord, that if there's something that's said, that it would be a testimony for those that may be hearing. Someone may be going through some trials or tribulations at this time. And, Father, we just want to be a blessing to them and let them know, Heavenly Father, that they're not in this alone. Father, we ask that you would be with the sick and afflicted, be with those that know you and those that don't. Father, we thank you for all the opportunities you've given us. We thank you for health. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for life and life more abundant. Lord, we just give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with those, Heavenly Father, who are suffering some kind of illness at this time. We pray for the families, Heavenly Father, that you would give them peace in the midst of their storm. Lord, Father, we pray, Lord, that your word, Heavenly Father, we know that your word is able to heal. And we pray, Father, that your word is unveiled, and that you would just unveil the mysteries of your word and let it spread upon the ears of those that hear it. And, Father, we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Tonight, our topic this tonight is a promise. A promise is a promise to the saints of God. A promise is a promise to the saints of God. We would like to start off with talking about discussing that God has promised us many things. He has promised us many things, so many promises. And we'd like to share with you tonight, for those of you who know and those that don't know, that God's promises never come back void. Mm-hmm. When God makes a promise, you can count it as done. But there are some stipulations there. So there are some things that I'd like to touch on this evening. One is the eternal life, a promise to eternal life. Two is a heart and a promise to the heart and for forgiveness. And the third is that is a promise to include the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And as we start off and as I'm talking, and again, this is an interactive Bible study, please don't hesitate to speak or share, because that's when God really works when we're all on one accord and we're working together. Amen. So we're all in this together. We are the body. There's the arm. There's the leg. There's the whole body working together for one purpose. Amen. God never fails. He never fails. His promises never fail. And when we first look at Psalms 89:34, it states that my covenant I will not break. My determination is to establish a spiritual kingdom, the head of which shall be Jesus, the Son of David, shall not fail. My prophets have declared this, and I will not alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. And I like that last part where it says, I will not alter the things that go out of my mouth. Now, in the New Testament, it states that my covenant I will not profane nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. And when the word profane is, I will not violate it. Meaning that if I have made a promise of what I say that I am going to do, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. None of God's promises in Joshua 23:14, it says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of the Lord, your God, has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled to the very fullest, and none has failed. It also states, also, and behold, I am going to the day, the way of the earth, and ye know in your heart and in your soul that not one thing that has failed, all the good of the words of Jehovah your God has spoken concerning you. All come to pass unto you. Not one thing has failed. And even Joshua, he keeps speaking, just talking about that the promises of God has not failed. Now, if we can look at the Bible and the testaments of the Bible or the testimonies of the Bible, and it's letting us know that whatever we are going through, whatever you are going through, it will not fail. God's promises will not fail. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Not one thing has failed. Not one thing has failed. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to know within our heart that we know, that we know, that we know without a shadow of a doubt who God is, that His word will not come back void. And when we believe within our heart, we speak it with our mouth and believe it within our heart, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Now, there are things that may happen in our lives that we may not understand, but we have to rest our full assurance of knowing that whatever thing that we're going through, that God is going to handle. And we have to know that whatever the outcome is for the best of whatever that situation is. There are many who will probably doubt God. Something has happened in their life. Excuse me. Something has happened in their life. A challenge has come in their life. And things did not work out the way that they wanted that challenge to work out. But let me tell you something. God has His own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. That's why He says, my way is not your way, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Mm-hmm. We can't understand how God is working something out. But I can guarantee you that He is working it out. And that's for those going out to those who may be doubtful, who may have lost hope. I'm here to tell you, we're here to tell you, that God never fails. Amen? God never fails. There are so many passages in the Bible that states that we have to have a relationship with God. We have to, God has to be our best friend. And when God or anyone is considered your best friend is not going to let you down. Now, there's a difference between man and God, but I'm using the both in a similar fashion so that it's interpreted of understanding we have, or maybe you may not, but that Satan has a best friend in the natural. That best friend you can depend is going to be there. That's why he has been labeled your best friend. He has been labeled your best friend. Why? Because you have shared your most personal things with your best friend. You know that with your best friend, you can call your best friend, and maybe your best friend might not be able to be there, but you know if that best friend could, they would. They, without a shadow of a doubt, your best friend is not going to judge you. Your best friend is not going to look at your weaknesses in spite of your faults. Your best friend is going to encourage you. Your best friend is going to be there when you need him or her to be there for you. Now, that's just the way God is. God wants that same relationship with you. My brother, my sister, he wants that same relationship with you. He wants to be your best friend. There the scripture says, behold, I stand here and knock. If anyone opens up and lets me in, and they let me in, I will sup with you and you with me. Now, how good it is when someone lets you in and you can sit down at the table and eat with them and share food with them, something that's nourishing, something that's nourishing. But it's even greater than that when you get on a spiritual level. When you get on a spiritual level, it becomes even greater, even deeper than that. Amen? So that's where we go in terms of God wants you to have that relationship, and he wants you to be saved without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt, knowing where you are going when you leave this place. You have to have a vision of knowing where you're going. If your relationship has been the right relationship, if you have made God your best friend, God is not going to look at your weaknesses, my brother, my sister. He's not going to look at your weakness. He's not going to judge you. He is not going to do that. He is going to love you with the fullest of love that you could ever think or even imagine. That's just how much he loves you. That's how much he wants you to be a part of that relationship. Amen? Mm-hmm. As we move on, it states here, and if we look at Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I think that's a key piece. I don't know why it seems like I have something in my throat. I'm just getting over the illness. But we're going to repeat that in the name of Jesus. All you who are weary, and it says, take upon my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. I like to think of that rest as peace. That no matter what obstacles you are going through, that you're going to find peace. You're going to overlook that situation that you may be going through. Why? Because God said it. God said it. Come to me, all you who are weary. Weary when I see the word weary, I'm thinking about someone who is very, very tired and burdened. The troubles of the world on your shoulder. You may be taking care of your parents, and they may be an illness within the family, and you may be the one who is handling there's brothers and sisters out there, but you may be the one who's handling it all. You're the one who is there every day, every night, every afternoon, who's taking care of that situation. You're filling in where everyone else has not, and that burden becomes extremely heavy. Why? Because you're handling that burden, and then you are trying to deal with other situations. And it says, God says, come to me, all ye who are weary, who are tired and burdened, if you have a burden on your shoulders, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Look at my words, look at my promises and what I have said. Understand who I am. Who I am. I am that I am. I'm the God Almighty. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. Listen, whatever you want God to be, God will be that for you. Learn from me. And when you learn from me, you don't have to worry about what someone else says, because he is saying that when you learn from me, that you'll find that I am gentle and humble in heart. Humble in heart meaning that I love you so much that I can't think about what you're doing. I can't think about your mistakes. I just love you for who
That's
you
good.
Are. Amen? I
That's
love
good.
You for who you are. And because I love you and we have that kind of relationship, you will find rest in your souls or in your spirit. That means that you can feel good about whatever situation you're going through. My sister, my brother, you're taking care of your mother, your father, your brother, or someone who may be ill, someone who may be down, someone who may be incarcerated, someone who may be going through whatever. But you're taking all that burden upon you. And God is saying that when you learn of me, you'll find that I will give you rest. I will give you peace within that. You don't have to worry about the situation. You don't have to look about the burdens or how much burden that you have on your shoulder, because God is going to take that burden off your shoulder, and he's going to handle it himself. And you're going to find that your load is much lighter when you allow God to handle that situation for you. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't want to continue going through here, but are there anyone that has any comments at this time? Amen. I'm going to continue on. That's a powerful disclaimer, isn't it? In Isaiah 40:29-31, he said, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. The world says, look that up, that if you appear weak, then that's not a good thing. You have to walk around, you know, with your shoulder. You have to walk around like, you know, like you are the strongest thing, you know, going. And but God is saying that he'll give you power. He will give power to the weak and strength to the powerless. That person who is going through whatever they're going through, trying to handle that situation, for everybody within the family who has the burden on them, you get weak. It's understandable. God understands that you get weak. You get weak, and sometimes it feels like your strength has just given out. And God is saying that I will give you power. I will give you power. Even though that you are going through weak, you are being weak at this time, I will give you power. And it says, even youth will become weak and tired. Even the youth, it doesn't make a difference whether you're old, whether you're middle age, or whether you are young. Listen, it doesn't make a difference. We all are going to go through some challenges. We're going to have challenges. challenges in our life. It doesn't make a difference. So don't look at, because I am older, I'm going through these challenges. But what it's saying here is that even the young are going to have their challenges. They may be a little different from yours, but they are going to have challenges as well. It says even the youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But here's the claim. Here's the power, the peace that I hold on to. Who trust in the Lord will find new strength. So if you feel, my brother or sister, that you have lost your strength because of the challenge that you've gone through, because of loss of death that you have that has gone through your life, or you may be in a situation where you have to go out every day and you're on the front line, you're getting weak because of you having to handle everything. And it's saying, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We got a shout of joy on that. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to say, they will soar high on wings like an eagle. God is saying, I will send my angels and just take that burden up, and you will feel like another person. You will feel like another person going through that challenge. Why? Because those burdens have been lifted, and now you feel like you can handle more. You can go through more. You can take the challenge even more. But those who soar, they will soar high on wings like an eagle. They will run and not get weary. So as you continue running this race or whatever you're going through, it's God is saying that you will not grow weary. But here's the claim. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And you got to hold on to that, my brothers and my sisters. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. So you have to have a full assurance of knowing that you know, that you know, that you know without a shadow of a doubt.
Amen.
You trust in the Lord. We do it every day. Amen. We do it every day. We get in our car, automatically we know that our car is going to start up. We sit down in that chair, we automatically know that chair is going to hold our weight. We do it every day. So now all God is just saying is take all of those things that we do in the world that we just take for granted, and now let's just channel it all in on Him, into Him. For those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like an eagle. You're going to be looking down at those challenges, my brother, my sister. When you trust in the Lord, you're going to be looking down at those challenges. You're not going to be in it. You're going to be looking down. Why? Because you're going to be above the challenges that you're going through, that death within the family. Amen? That mother or that father that you've been taking care of and you become weary. Or whatever, that son or that daughter who have gone wayward. God is saying that you are going to look down on that. You are going to look at it from another perspective. Amen? And it says that you'll be able to run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. That sounds like a person who has regained their strength. Amen?
Amen.
Someone who has regained their strength. That means that you was weak at one time, but now you're stronger. I know I feel good just knowing that the Lord is on my side. Listen, listen, the race does not go to the swift, but it goes to those who hold on to the very end. So there's going to be those that come and tell you false promises. There's going to be those that will come and tell you that you cannot do this. You're unable to do this. That's not human. There's going to be those who come and tell you that, you know what, this is impossible. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
For hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can continue on in Romans 8:37-39. Despite all these things that are overwhelming, all these things, my brother and my sister, that's overwhelming to you, that job, those finances, that father or mother that you're caring for by yourself, that wayward child, that health situation that the doctor just gave you, No, it says, despite all these things, become overwhelming. What is overwhelming? Overwhelming is when you just don't know what to do. You just don't have a shadow of a doubt how you're going to handle that situation that you just found out, that someone just threw on you. Or the weight was heavy and all of a sudden something else was added on. And now you just feel like you're weak, about ready to faint from trying to handle or carry this load by yourself. But the Lord God says, despite all these things are overwhelming, he's saying the victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The victory is already been won. It goes on to say, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on this earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. God's
Thank you, Jesus.
God's promises. His promises. His promises. His promises. That, listen, God has a promise for the saints of God.
Yeah.
He has a promise for us, and all we have to do is keep our eyes focused on that promise and knowing that if God says it, then it's going to happen. So you can count it as done. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
So
Amen.
I don't know who I'm
Amen.
Talking to at this time right now,
good,
you know, but
good.
I'm just here to tell you that God never fails. He never fails. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to open up the mic because I don't want to do all the talking. I really don't. I just enjoy hearing from the other saints of God. Amen? Any comments?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. How are you?
Praise the Lord. I want to also share something in Ezekiel 37 when he talked about the dry bones. Sometimes God is putting opportunities out there before you. And when Ezekiel, when he approached Ezekiel, he asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? He threw that question out to Ezekiel. Now, God is also trying to see where your faith level is. And when Ezekiel turned and said, Lord, you know, God gave him a command. He said, speak to the bones. And when he spoke to those bones began to live. So God's waiting for an opportunity to let your faith connect with his faith, so that he may use you. So a lot of times you have to have the faith to believe that God is and who will do what he said he will do. That's why when you said earlier, I am that I am, meaning that he'll be what you need him to be. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. What a good word. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any more comments? Any more comments? Your lights are open. Amen. I guess we get kind of quiet tonight. We can get kind of quiet tonight, but that's okay.
Well, it's
that's
a good word, brother. It's a good
word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs 1:33, it says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Let me say that again. But all who listen to me will live in peace. We talked about that peace in the soul. God will give you that peace no matter what you're going through. You will soar above everything else, and there will be almost like a peace that you will have of knowing that it's going to be okay. You're not going to be worried about that situation. You're not going to be worried about those finances. You're not going to be worried about that job. I will give you peace. You don't have to fear. In fact, fear is a sin.
So
fear
true.
Is a sin.
Amen.
Why? Because God is saying that for my children of God,
my God,
for my children, they're not supposed to worry.
So if you're worried about something or a situation that you may be going through, then you are in fear of that happening. And if you're in fear of that happening, that means that I'm not in the picture. That means you have left me out. You've left me out. You're on your own trying to fix the situation. I'm sure that we all have a testimony.
Amen.
I'm sure that we all have a testimony. God has taken each and every one of us, for those of you who are listening, God has taken each and every one of us from one level to another. And you know what?
Amen.
God is not finished with us yet.
Amen.
He's still not
Amen.
Finished
That's
with us.
So
He's still molding. He's still making and creating us, working, and who he wants us to be. The thing I love it about is I think about all of the saints that we haven't even heard about yet. Sure, we hear about those on the radio. We see those on the TV. But God has some saints in the background that's working on his behalf that's going to turn this world inside out.
Amen.
He's got those who are working, and you have never heard of them before, who's going to turn this world inside out. You know why?
That's
because
right.
They have sold out. They have sold out. They don't need an introduction to be on the front line. They can be in the back and still work miracles.
That's right.
That's good. That's
they can
good.
Be in
right
the
there.
Background, and they can still do the healing. They can be in the background. They don't need to be heard. All they have to know is that God is on their side. God is with them. And if God is with them, then who can be against them?
My God.
Who in this world can be against those who are for God? Let me tell you something. The promises of God. The promises of God. You know what? And the thing about it is that as we go through this walk, as we go through this Christian walk, let me tell you something. There's going to be challenges. Why? Because Jesus said we're going to have challenges. If he went through challenges, then I guarantee you we're going to go through the challenges. And what happens is many are afraid to go come fully on board or sell out. Why? Because they are in fear of the challenges that may come their way.
Wow,
they're looking
right.
in the natural and not the spiritual. See, God has already said the victory has already been won. So if the victory has already been won, then you're running like you already won with your hands up. With your hands
Amen.
Up. Amen. Your hands are in glory. Your hands are up in victory. Your hand is not down. Your head is not down. You're walking with your chest out. You're walking knowing that you have a boldness on your face that the world can't give you. Why? Because God has done some miraculous, great things in your life, in my life. You understand? And when God begins to work on the inside, what's on the inside comes on the outside.
Amen.
And people can see the Spirit of Christ just by looking at you. Just by your look. There's something about you that's peaceful. You know what? I can talk to this brother or this sister, and I can feel comfortable sharing with them my problems. Why? Because I feel like that they are not going to share with someone else. They're not going to judge me. They're not going to make a mockery of me. If anything, I'm going to feel a certain peace. Through that, guarantee, without a shadow of a doubt, they're going to be introduced to God if they don't know who he is.
Amen.
You can't talk about victory unless you talk about God, because God is the one who's given us the victory. Amen?
Amen.
We move even further.
I think somebody wanted to say something.
Is there a comment?
Yeah, I got a comment.
Go ahead,
can you hear me?
Brother. Yes,
all
sir,
right.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 23. The one. This is a psalm that we all know. And
yes, sir.
Really, if you give it some thought, everything that you have said tonight, it all summed up in Psalms 23. You know, basically, because it talks about God leading us. It talks about the path of righteousness. It talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and it talks about fearing not fearing any evil. I will fear no evil. And it talks about you know, comforting me, and he will make a table before the presence of your enemy. So this is a psalm that sums everything up. But because it's so familiar, we don't really look in the depth of the psalm, and we're not looking at what God is really trying to say to us. And all what you've been saying tonight is summed up in that one psalm, you know, Psalms 23. So if people would really look at that and study that psalm, you'll see everything that you're saying is right there.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that that spiritual insight, my brother. Please, that's Minister Robinson from Atlanta. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you. You know, and that's what it's all about. God has so much to share, and you have so much to share. The mics are always open.
Amen. And I would like to, and I'd like to just say, when you were talking about the fear, you know, we should not fear. You know, we should press forward. And back in Revelation, which is the end of the book, and where God is speaking about those that overcome, and Revelations 21 and 8, and I'm just going to read part of it. It says, because we're to trust God in everything. It says, but the fearful, meaning fear, but the fearful and the unbelieving, this unbelieving and fear is all clumped together with this, with abomination, murderers, homemongers, it says sorcerers, adulterers. We have to not be clumped up in that type of people that's not going to be the overcomers that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. We have to trust God. We have to first believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to know that, as Elder John is saying, a promise is a promise, and his promise doesn't come back unto him void. We have to trust his word no matter what we're going through. Trust his word.
Amen.
Because fearing God, I mean, not fearing God, but being fearful of what we're going through, knowing that that if we fear that he's not going to bring us out, that weakens us. We have to be strong to know that his promises are yea and amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't know if I explained that good enough, but that's it.
Amen.
Hey, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Also, when you're talking about that fear and the promise, I just want to deal with the fear. The fear is like you're really piggybacking off of what Prophet is saying. Fear is too that you're not really trusting God.
Right.
Because you are fearful. You're not really putting that trust in him and knowing that he will bring you out, and knowing that he is going to heal you. So when you put on that spirit of fear, you're not really trusting God. So it's important that we do not fear God.
Yes.
That's, once again, it's a relationship with God, knowing that he will do it. It's a knowing.
Amen.
You have to have a knowing, I know spirit that he will do it in spite of what it looks like. God is going to do it.
That's good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Any more comments? Amen. I do thank you, you know, my brothers and my sisters, just, you know, for even sharing, you know, and for even those who are listening by internet or even by phone who may not even be commenting. We pray that something is said that is a blessing to you. We don't come together just, you know, to get together just to socialize. We come just to lift up the name of Jesus. And when we lift up the name of Jesus, we believe that things begin to start to happen.
Amen.
You know, we believe that things begin to happen. We don't know where they may be happening, but we know without shadow of a doubt that things begin to happen. And that's all we're here for. That's all we're just for encouragement. Amen. Just for encouragement. So for you who may not go to church much, for you who may not open the Word of God much, listen, it's okay.
because God has done some things in your life that you can talk about, that you can testify to. God is working, and God is working on behalf of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Comment. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue to move on. And we're talking about being afraid. When I look at John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. A promise is a promise. And God is telling you, my brother and my sister, don't be afraid. You heard from the other saints, and they were talking about in terms of fear. Fear is controlling. The only thing that we want to control about is the Spirit of God. Because fear is not of God. Amen?
That's right.
Let me tell you something. And you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, it's easy to say. No, we all go through our challenges.
Amen.
We grow from them. We don't run from them. We don't run from them. No. God has given us the authority to be able to go up to that challenge or that mountain, as I call it, because to me, obstacles are nothing but mountains. They're mountains. And God can say through his word, there's power in it, mountains be removed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Revelation it talks about mountains, and it talks about fear. And it says, and if I'm correct, if I'm not correctly, though the mountains, the earth may be removed, mountains are cast into the midst of the sea. Can you imagine that? So
wow.
The earth is removed and the mountain is cast into the midst of the sea. My people who are called by God should not be.
Hmm.
I think that, listen, you're looking at the world that we know of just withering away, and God is saying that we should fear. So if he's saying that we get into that situation and we're seeing that type of thing happening, that we should not fear, don't you think the things that we're going through are kind of minute or small in his eyes?
Right.
Don't you think
true.
That what you're going through is small
so
in
true.
God's eyes? So I'm here to tell you that God wants you to put your trust in him. He says,
that's
love
good.
God with all your heart, your mind.
Good.
God wants you to give it all. Give it all. And when you do that, you will find that your circumstances began to turn around.
My
your circumstances
God.
Began
mm-hmm.
to turn around. You could flip. But when you felt like you was about ready to go to your knees and because you was weary or because you was tired or because you didn't have strength to stand, listen, let me tell you something. God will give you strength in those knees. God will
yes,
give you
will.
Strength in that body. And you find yourself dancing
wow.
with joy. Why? Because that mountain has been removed on you. You now feel freedom to be able to jump up with joy, to jump up knowing that you don't have to go through that challenge anymore, that you don't have to handle
Woo.
That challenge anymore, that you don't have to see things as the world sees.
Yes,
you're looking
yes,
at it
yes.
from a spiritual sight. You're looking at it from God's point of view. And God has given you the power to be able to jump for joy. Where the world sees you falling apart, God sees you back together. God sees you being restored. God sees you being able to work on his behalf, doing things that people say and thought you would never, ever be able to do.
Preach.
Let me
yes.
tell you something.
Yes. Yes.
Let me tell you something. The God that we serve, he never fails. And that's the beauty of serving a God like that.
So good.
That's the beauty of it. That is
Amen.
The beauty of it. Amen? God
Amen.
Is always faithful to to his covenant and his promises. God is always faithful to his covenant and his promises.
Thank you.
His promises are always there, and his promises there's fulfillment. There's a prophecy of knowing that anyone is above anything or anything or anyone can even imagine. It's above it. It's greater than that. We can't even imagine the thoughts that God has. We can't even imagine the things that God wants to do with us. And I'm talking about you too, my brother, my sister who's going through that challenge, who has that mountain that has you weighed down. I'm talking to you too. I'm telling you, listen, let me tell you something. God is ready to do a great thing within you. But there are some steps you're going to have to take. There are some baby steps that you're going to have to take. You're going to have to turn it all over again. You're going to have to turn, release it. Release it in the name of Jesus. Release it. Release whatever you're going through, that debt that you may have in that family. Release whatever situation that you're dealing with on that job. Release whatever financial problems that you may be having. Release it. Turn it over to God. And let me tell you something. God never fails.
Hallelujah.
God never fails. Never fails. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because Jesus is the price of the Son of the living God. Let me say this again. Because Jesus is the price of the Son of the living God. He's bigger than our problems and worthy of our supreme trust and obedience. I think
That's
I need
good.
To repeat that again.
That's
because
good.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is bigger, I didn't say smaller, I didn't say in between, I said bigger than any problem and worthy of our supreme trust and obedience. God has said all authority in heaven on earth has been given to Jesus. And he has empowered each believer to manifest and to share the good news, the new life that's in you. He's empowered that within us, within you, within me. He's empowered to manifest the good news and news for you and for me. Isn't God a great God? I mean, his promises never fail. His promises never, ever fail. A promise is a promise to the saints. Amen?
Amen.
And let me just say this. Whoever, here's John talking, whoever receives Christ becomes a child of God and is given eternal life. He is no longer under the condemnation and has crossed over from death to life.
Amen.
When we look at death of the world, we're looking at, you know what? You know, I mean, we go to funerals every day. But in here, God is talking about the death that we're talking about is death to your old ways, death to that old life.
Amen.
Because now you are a new creature. In God, in Christ. You are a new creature. So you cross over from death, from that old self, from that situation where your body or whatever you're going through is telling you that you can't make it, from whatever situation is telling you that there's no finances coming in to be able to meet your needs, from whatever situation that you're going through telling you that you can't handle this situation with your mother or your father, whatever situation that you're going to. Listen, when you turn it all over to God, he is saying that you have crossed over from death to life. You are a new person when you turn your life over to Christ. And I can guarantee you with a shadow of a doubt that God never fails. A promise is a promise. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. God loves you and me just that much. Amen. God loves you and me just that much. Any comments? Any comments? Any comments? My brothers, my sisters. Amen.
It's a good word.
God,
yes,
has also spoken about, he's promising a new heart and forgiveness. God has promised
yes.
us new hearts and desire. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you the heart of flesh.
Mm.
I will give you a heart of flesh, a new heart. That's a new attitude, a new way to love, a new way to look at things, a new way to feel, a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
Heart was stony and hard because of what someone did to you. God is saying, I'll give you a new heart.
Amen.
I will give you a heart so that you will forgive that person that hurt you. You'll forgive that person that you put your trust in and they broke that promise.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
Amen.
Give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart if you put your trust in me. Amen?
Amen.
I will take away that stony heart. That stony heart. I'll take away that heart. That stony heart. What is it? That's a cold heart. That makes
Amen.
You cold. Not loving anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Impenetrable. No one can reach that heart. You might say that you understand, but in your heart, no. You don't understand because you're still carrying that burden. You're still
mm-hmm.
carrying that load. You're still carrying those heavy things that make you slow to respond to love. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart. God has promised the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Joy, peace,
mm-hmm.
long-suffering,
mm-hmm.
caring. Goodness, fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that which the Holy Spirit produces, is not without a design. It's not without a design. Amen? When we talk about love, what is love? Love means to God and to mankind. Love is to God and to mankind. The fruit of the Spirit of love. Amen? We can love in spite of.
That's
no matter
good.
What
That's
the situation right. is, we can
mm-hmm.
still love them as they are.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much they have done to me, I can still love them.
Mm-hmm.
I can still forgive them. I can still love them, the fruit of the Spirit. And God is saying that when we have the fruit of the Spirit, there's love. And then there's joy. There's joy in the love of God. And that's evident. That's evident. People can see it. You don't have to tell someone you love them. People can see it. They
mm-hmm.
can see it without you even saying anything. Amen?
Yeah.
They can see that you crossed over from that old heart to a new heart. They can see that because of the joy that you have. Amen? There's a joy that we have because we know that we've crossed over. And when we've crossed over, we know that there's hope in heaven. Peace. As a result, there's a reconciliation with God. A reconciliation. A reunion. Hallelujah. A reunion, meaning that we've come back home.
Hmm.
We've come back home. We strayed away. We went out there and found out what the world was like, and we thought it was better, but you know what? Now we're back home. There's a reunion. There's a compatibility There is unbending there when we have peace. When we have peace in God, we have come back home. Amen. Long suffering. When we think about long suffering, we think about the trials, we think about the afflictions that we may be going through. We think about the things when we were injured by others. But in long suffering, we're having or showing patience in spite of ourselves. Amen? Especially mm-hmm. those that was caused by someone else. In spite of our troubles, long suffering, we can go through that. We have patience of knowing that even though that we're going through all of that, and we have God right along with us, we know that it's going to be okay. We're going to be able to handle it. God is going to give us patience to be able to handle that and wait on Him. God has timing for all things, for you and for me. Gentleness. When I think about gentleness, I think about someone who is extremely kind. Shows kindness in everything. There's goodness in it. Amen? They're not hard. They're not crooked or mean-tempered. They show a mildness in their temper. There's a calmness about them. When we come in their presence, there's a calmness about them. There's a calmness. We can feel the Spirit of God within them.
Amen.
There's a disposition that they have by how they treat other people. And let me tell you something. People are always watching your
mouth. Yes, they are.
They are always watching how you treat others. Someone makes you get you in a situation where you should be mad. They're looking to see if you're going to be mad and how you're going to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But gentlemen, you're taking that situation and you're handling it with gentleness. In spite of, you're still forgiving them. Goodness. There's goodness in everyone. Every Christian, to the Word of God, must be a good man always. Every Christian, according to the Word of God, they must be a good man or woman. And sure, that flesh is going to arise. Were you saying that I'm not going to do that?
Amen.
Or they just hurt my feelings, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to respond to that preacher. I'm not going to respond to that family member because of what they just said.
Amen.
But in spite of all of that, in spite of all of that, we still show goodness, the fruit of the Spirit. We still show the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's faith, of knowing that we have faith in the Word of God. It's important to your word. It's important to know when you are faithful to your promises. It's important to know that you are so faithful that you can be trusted, that they can depend on you.
Amen.
It's important to know that you are a man or woman of God. And because you are a Christian, that people can have faith in you. Faithful to our neighbor, faithful to other Christians, faithful no matter what influences you may be under, faithful of knowing that how you may have been, how deceitful someone may be in your life, or how vain they may be, but you're still faithful. Faithful of knowing that you are a true man, woman of God. And let me tell you something. We all fall short. Glory of God.
Amen.
No one is perfect. The only one is perfect is our Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who's perfect. We do make mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes.
Amen.
So don't
Amen.
Be so hard on yourself, because God is not looking at that. God is looking and asking, are you going to ask for forgiveness?
Amen. Say
you know
that.
You made that mistake. You know what you did. Are you going to ask for forgiveness and meet it? That's why David was a man after God's own heart. Time and time again, David made so many mistakes. But it still says that David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he always asked for forgiveness. He always asked for forgiveness. And God gave him power to be able to do miraculous things. He was able to slay a giant. God put him in rulership to become a king. God took him and did miraculous things with him in spite of all that he did. But he kept in his heart a heart of forgiveness, asking for forgiveness. So we're going to ask for forgiveness. And God is going to forgive us. But there are also consequences that we have to pay for our mistakes. But God will never allow anything to harm you. Hurt you or harm you. He will not allow that. A promise is a promise to the saints of God. All we have to do is continue to walk the Christian walk. Continue to hold on to our faith. Continue to communicate with God on a one-to-one basis. It don't have to be in front of a group of people. Sometimes God honors what we do in our closet, all by ourselves. So I say to you, my brother, my sister, just remember, a promise is a promise. And God never fails.
Good word.
Any comments? Any comments?
This was a good word. Go on.
I have a comment. You know, this is a very good word.
Excellent.
Because the promises that God gives us, you know, the enemy always tries to distract us and take that out of our minds, saying that, you know what, God is not going to, you know, bless you with that business that you want, or heal your body. And this is a good word that you are telling the people that's out there to remind them of the promises that God has said, because
we
are so distracted by the enemy. The enemy tries to take every little bit that we have in God away from us and say, it is not so.
Right.
But we have to go back and say, it is so.
Yeah.
God never lies. He never lies. He never fails.
Amen.
He tells the truth. And you can always take that to the bank. No matter what of the trick of the enemy will say to you, if God said it, it is so. So, this is a blessed word.
It really is.
And I appreciate this elder tonight. Because it's a reminder. It's a reminder to us. Amen.
Oh, and that his promises are true for all of us, not just some. Because the enemy will also tell you you're not good enough. Sure, he meant those people, but not you. You know. So all of us. All of us. That he loves us so much.
Amen.
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 Excellent, excellent.
Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. For those of you who's listening, again, through by internet, we do thank you for tuning in. Pray that whatever was said by myself or others who spoke, that it was a blessing to you. And that's all we want to do, is be a blessing, to be an encouragement to your life. Amen. That's why we come on every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we have so many spirit-filled speakers that come on to share the word, you know, and that is so important, that when we begin to start to connect the dots, not just in my city, but in cities across the state, and that is just so wonderful. It just shows how big God is. And you know what? God is still moving. God is still moving, you know, and we're expecting great things to happen through this ministry.
Yes.
We're expecting great things. When
Hallelujah.
You have great people that come together, great things happen. Mm. The outcome is great. So we just thank you for just tuning in and being a part of this. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to close out right now. If there's any more comments, a couple of numbers I'm looking on here I've not heard from, but if you would like to comment or make a comment, the mics are open. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, just keep in mind, a promise is a promise, and God never fails. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the saints that came together. And we thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are God who never changes. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the promises that you have given us. And, Lord Father, sometimes our way may appear dark. But, Lord, we thank you for being a light unto our path. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be able to see above our circumstances.
Yes.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being able to be a light into those that you bring our way to tell them about the good news. We thank you, Heavenly Father, to be able to speak into those things that are and call them and though they are not. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the authority that you have given the men and women of God to be able to speak your word and knowing that it will not come back void. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those, Heavenly Father, who think, Heavenly Father, there's no way out, there's no hope. But your word, Heavenly Father, can break through all circumstances. Your word, Heavenly Father, can break through any mountain. Lord, Father, we thank you for those mountains. And right now, Father, we come against it in the name of Jesus, those mountains, and ask them to be removed. Lord, Father, you said that where there's two or three sincere hearts that come together in your name, that you would be in the midst. And, Father, we thank you for great things that are about ready to happen. Lord, Father, we just claim the victory. We declare it. We decree it. We call it for the what it is, Heavenly Father. We call it for the victory, which has already been won. It's in the name of Jesus that we declare and we call for victory right now. We thank you, Father, by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you. Even though I love you, for God loves you.
So hard to understand how a life that I had Dreamer awakens to a life that's yet to come.